You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey guys, it's Adam. This is The Conversation. Wherever you are and whatever you are up to, I am so excited that you are tuning in. Excited about today's episode. I sat down with a new friend of mine, and before I actually introduce my new friend to you, a lot of our conversation centered around two things: tragedy and grief. Tragedy and grief. Now, these two things are something that I think most of us can connect to on some level. Some of us more obvious than others. Maybe we've had a death recently. We've lost a parent, a grandparent, a spouse, a friend, a daughter of ours. Again, some of us know grief so well, and it's like, because I lost this person. Others of us are walking through tragedy and grief that might look different. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a bankruptcy. Maybe we lost our job. Maybe we're struggling in whatever way, shape, or form it is. We've lost a dream. Again, I think most of us in some way can connect with tragedy and grief. And so before we get to today's conversation, I just want to share five resources that I highly recommend for anyone walking through tragedy and grief. The first resource I want to recommend, and we'll have links in the show notes to all of these, by the way. The first resource is called Jesus Calling. The Jesus Calling. Now, many of you have probably heard of the Jesus Calling before. You maybe even have a copy on your shelf, but I highly recommend this. It was written by Sarah Young. Sarah is someone who has battled and struggled with Lyme disease for years, and there's something powerful about learning from, about suffering and tragedy from someone who's actually walked through and experienced suffering and tragedy, and so, and grief and everything else. And so Sarah Young has experienced that every day. There is a reading, there's like a kind of a devotional prayer along with scripture that you can do. Highly recommend Jesus Calling. That's resource number one. The second resource is called Day by Day, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, written by a guy named Pete Scazzaro. This is a resource that personally brought me through my hardest season of tragedy. And so I highly recommend this. This is a resource I buy often for friends, for people in my church that I know are walking through a season of tragedy or grief or hardship or suffering. So that's resource number two. Resource number three, the Book of Psalms, written in most part by a guy named David. Now, the Book of Psalms is a book of the Bible that has been read and prayed for hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet it feels in many ways like it was written yesterday. And so how do I go through the Book of Psalms? Pick one psalm, just go through one psalm a day, and as you're reading the words, just say, God, I know these were spoken by David and written by David, and yet I am speaking these words to you as well. Just read one psalm a day. Maybe there's a verse out of that psalm that you pull out and you put on a note card and you stick it in your back pocket for the rest of the day. Maybe you get to Psalm 119 and you're like, this psalm's so big. And so instead of reading one psalm a day, you read a part of one psalm a day and then the next part the next day. But the Book of Psalms is so powerful. Resource number four is called Grief One Day at a Time. Confession, I have not personally gone through this myself, but it came highly recommended from one of the most solid biblical grief counselors that I know. And she said, gosh, this book is fantastic. I bought it recently for a friend of mine who is going through grief in just a horrible way right now. She highly recommends it. There's a reading that goes along with every single day. And she said specifically for that person who's new to grief, highly recommends that resource. Resource number five is The Chosen. The Chosen. If you've listened at all, you know that I love The Chosen. The Chosen is now in season two, and it simply is episodes that portray the life of Jesus and how it portrays Jesus. It's the most accurate, biblical, winsome version of Jesus that I've ever seen. It is truly beautiful. If you've not downloaded the Chosen app, you get it. It's free. And then you watch these episodes on your phone or you throw them up on your TV for that person who's walking through tragedy and grief, tragedy and suffering, whatever it might be. There's something powerful about really seeing who Jesus is and how he meets us in all of that. And so again, these are five simple resources. And I'd encourage you, if you're walking through tragedy or grief, I didn't get paid to share these. No one told me to plug these at all. I just know that they've had a huge blessing in my life. In today's episode, though, my friend, my new friend, is Tim Timberlake. He is a pastor. He is an author. He's a teacher. And I just loved this episode. I loved our conversation. As I shared, we talk a lot about tragedy and grief. He, at a young age, discovered that his dad had passed away. And so he talks about that process of what that, how that changed him and how it changed his relationship with Jesus for the good instead of the bad, how he used it for good. He's got a brand new book that just came out called 1440. Every single day has 1,440 minutes in a day. And so how do we live those minutes every single day to the best? That's all I know. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Well, Tim, super excited to sit down with you. I want to welcome you to the conversation today.
Man, it's an honor and a privilege to be on here with you. Adam, looking forward to our conversation, man.
Yeah. So for the person who doesn't know you, tell us about yourself, just your kind of story in a nutshell.
For sure. So I pastor a number of churches all under the Celebration Church umbrella. And we are a multi-site, kind of multi-campus church. And I started off pastoring 17 years ago now. And it's pretty crazy, man, to think 17 years has gone by since I've been serving in some capacity leading a church. And I had no desire, man, to pastor. I had no desire to be in ministry, nonetheless around ministry. And what ended up happening, man, my parents started the church that I now pastor in the early 70s, and it ended up growing to becoming one of the largest churches in North Carolina in the city of 2,400 people. It grew to about 9,000 to 10,000 people, man, in a matter of years. And in 1997, my dad was diagnosed with terminal stage 4 throat cancer. As a result of that battle, and surgeries and back and forth from the hospital and just the toll it took on his body, he ended up transitioning 5 years later in 2002. And when I found out that he had terminal throat cancer when I was 12 or 13 years old, you know, my heart got really hard towards God and just upset and angry and really kind of bitter at how things transpired and played out. And just not knowing really kind of God's will and really God's word. And so my perspective of God was, if this is the way God treats his servant, if this is the way God treats his son, if this is the way God treats his man, you know, I don't know if I want to serve a God like that. Just having, you know, no context of who God was, who God is, and really just kind of went on this journey of self-discovery. And so you fast forward 5 years, my dad passes, and I'm going off to college, and I'm there, and I'm in my apartment, and I have this crazy dream, and it was almost like a surreal vision. I'm standing on the stage in front of a sea full of people. I look down at my hands, Adam, and I can see there's blood on my hands, and so I'm kind of wiping my hands off and trying to figure out where in the world this blood is coming from. And I hear the voice of God so clear tell me, everyone you could have influenced for my gospel, their blood will be held to your account if you don't do what I've called you to do.
Whoa.
And it scared me, man. I mean, it really messed with me. And I woke up, called my mom, and I said, hey, you know, I had this crazy dream. And I began to explain to her the dream. And after I got finished, she started laughing like hysterically. So I'm kind of confused, like, man, I am freaked out of my mind, and my mom is laughing at me. And so finally I asked, what in the world are you laughing at? And she says to me, that's the same exact dream your father had when he was called into ministry. And it startled me so much that I ended up transferring that week from the school that I was at in Virginia to a Bible college in Detroit, and finishing up there, and then moving back to North Carolina to step into leadership at the church that I still pastor today.
Incredible. And I'm grateful that you're just willing to even share that part of your story with us. And I know we're gonna circle back around just through some of the heartache that you've been through. So your book, The Power of 1440, where did that come from? Yeah, just share that. Where did the book come from, and what's your hope from it?
I like to say when people write books, most of the time they write it from one of two places. They either write it from a place of joy and a place of good memories, or they write it from a place of pain and bad memories. And so this book comes from a place of pain. It comes from a place of some regret, of some, I wish I had of moments. And the catalyst for it was really, like I said, my father had transitioned 5 years after he was diagnosed with terminal stage 4 throat cancer. But on my 18th birthday, he set me down and he began to share with me what God had placed on his heart and just some of the things that he had heard from God, that he had seen from God, what I was supposed to carry out and walk into in the various seasons of life and ministry that God had in front of me. And so on my 18th birthday, I'm not thinking about any of that, man. I'm thinking about going out with my friends and probably getting in some trouble. And, you know, I'm there, but I'm not really there.
Yes.
And he's pouring his heart out to me and he's loving on me. And, you know, he's graciously talking to me as a loving father would to his son. And after about 5 hours, he pats me on the leg and he goes upstairs to his room. And 2 a.m. that following morning, my mom knocks on the door. She says, I need you to come downstairs. Help me get your father out of bed. He's not responding. And so when I go downstairs and I pull him out of bed, he's already transitioned. He's already gone, man. And I just remember thinking to myself, I thought we had more time. I thought that I had more time with him. And if I had known this would be the last time that we had a conversation, I would have approached this conversation differently than I did. And so the concept for the Power of 1440 was really, really catapulted by that memory and how we steward time. And when we look at a day, we normally categorize a day from the context of 24 hours. And so it seems like we have this long, endless amount of time. And the reality, when you really hone in on the minutes, there's 1,440 minutes in every single day. And the way that we steward those minutes determine the future and the destiny that we experience. And so this book is to make us hyper aware of how to lean into every moment by stewarding every minute.
Yeah, that is so good. And it's strange how it feels like it's genuinely an endless amount of time that we have. Yeah. And then you have those moments. This week, I sat down with a parent who tragically, totally unexpectedly lost their child. And in that moment, again, it's just like, no, it's very, very, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. I mean, it's just, life is just a mist. It's so weird how it goes from endless to like, where did it go? Like I thought it was there and you can't grab onto it anymore. So how do you make that change in the way that you look at your time, your day, your 1440? How do you make that change before it's too late?
Yeah, I think there's this notion that we can manage time. And the reality is it's very difficult, almost impossible to manage what you cannot control. And so we can't tell time to stop. We can't tell time to go. We can't tell it to speed up. We can't tell it to slow down. And so if we can't manage it, what can we do with it? And that is to steward it. And so the way we steward time is, two ways, through gratitude and through being hyper aware. Yeah. So what I mean by hyper aware, it's not necessarily scheduling, but it is leaning into moments. It's leaning into the various seasons of life that we go through with intention.
Yeah.
And we lose that intentionality when we become familiar. And so imagine with me, for those that are listening, you're sitting in the lobby of a hotel and there's music playing in the background. After about 15 minutes of hearing that same music, you lose the awareness of what you're listening to and hearing until someone else comes and says, I like that song. What is it? And then you become hyper aware. or you're in the kitchen with someone that's cooking, or maybe it's you that's cooking, and you're smelling this food, and it becomes a familiar smell, so it loses the hyper awareness that it would normally have if you were freshly smelling it for the first time, until someone reminds you of what you're smelling. Then you become hyper aware. My prayer is that this book brings us to the place where we become hyper aware of the time that God allows us to steward, not micromanaging time, not even scheduling out your day, but prioritizing what's important so that you can get the most out of it.
That's so good. And you lay out really like a 30-day manual almost to walk through this. It's really the chapters of the book are laid out that way. Do you want to give us an example of one of the days? I mean, I could read them off. I'll be the one, mess in the miracles, know where you want to go. Is there one specific that you want to jump in and just tell us a little bit more about?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the ones that really I'm kind of still brewing through and really kind of leaning into is where it's talking about the roadmaps at the end of the book and how, based upon the experience of the person that's writing the map, will determine how the map looks. And there's certain things in our life that we cannot really experience and relate to other people unless we see it and go through it ourselves. And, you know, as a person that walks with people, and all of us should live life in community and around other people. But as a person that lives life with other people, it's impossible for us to take people where we have not yet been ourselves.
Yeah.
So whenever we look throughout the Bible, we see the leaders of the Bible. You take Moses. Moses could only take the people back to the wilderness because it was the last place that he had been. He could foretell. He could tell them about the promised land. He could tell them about where they were going, but he could not take them there because he had not been.
Yeah.
It was a generation that came behind him that was able to take the children of Israel into the promised land because they had already been before when they had went to spy out the land. And so as we are navigating this life and as we are navigating how to steward our time, it gives us the opportunity to write out a life roadmap for the people that are walking out this life alongside of us or maybe behind us so that they can avoid some of the obstacles, some of the hurdles, some of the pains that we have encountered and endured in this life. And I believe if we can do that, man, we are not only helping, but we are serving our brothers and sisters and making them stronger because of our experiences.
Yeah, that's so important. It's more than just faithfully following Jesus yourself. It's thinking about the impact that you can have on those around you. And I think we need that more than ever in our world. People who are just, they're taking the road less traveled. They're choosing the narrow path in different situations and saying, hey, come alongside me, come with me. Don't make the same mistakes that I made. Like, learn from me. Here's where I've been. Tim, I want to kind of mention a couple different things. First off, right now, kind of in our world, there's the YOLO, like you do you just be you mentality. Yeah. And if our time is limited, there's kind of that approach of like, well, I'm going to live this up like and get crazy, you know, like I'm cashing everything out. Like we're going to Vegas. And so what's the difference? What would you say is the difference between that approach and really a God honoring approach of like, hey, no, I'm a follower of Christ. And so yes, time is limited, but this is a totally different thing than that. Share that.
For sure. And so that would be what the book is all about, which is priorities,
yeah.
You know, and understanding in life, there isn't balance. And to be honest with you, it shouldn't be balance. And so what I mean by that is
it's true.
God shouldn't have the same balance of time as everyone else in my life. My wife shouldn't have the same balance of time as I give to a stranger. My son shouldn't have the same balance of time as I give to someone else. And so life is not about balance, but it is about priorities.
Yes.
And when we have our priorities in order, we can look at our day, we can look at our week, we can look at our month and say, okay, this is what I will give my time to. And so for me, just from a practical standpoint, God gets the majority of my time. My wife gets most of my time. My son gets a good portion of my time, and then the church and people get the rest of my time. And so at the end of my life, I understand that the people I serve won't be beside me on my deathbed. My family will. And so it's important for me to invest the best of my time after I spend time with God, with them, because they are the ones that are going to be with me through the various seasons of life, through the various seasons of ministry, yes, through the various seasons and stages that we will enter into. They are the ones that will be there until the very end. And I think oftentimes we get that wrong. And yes, we think that living for the now is the most important thing. And if we don't plan now for our future and for the days and months to come, then we really do ourselves a disservice. We really don't give the ideal opportunity to God to make the most out of us that He desires to.
Yeah, that is so good. And another question that I have. So you're awesome just to start. And just this whole concept of 1440, I'm like, let's do it. Like, let's bring it on. And that's easy to do when things are easy. But what about the person who right now is struggling, is battling, whether it's addiction, mom's got cancer? Like, what about for that person, or just life-wise, just feels like everybody else has got it all figured out and they don't? What's your word of encouragement to that person of how to use their 1440 well when there's a part of them that just kind of wants to go away?
Yeah. And I talk about this in the book. We often hear about how to steward relationships and how to steward money and how to steward time. And we don't really hear this revelation of how to steward pain. And if we know anything about life, we know that at some point in our life, we will be presented with pain. And we have to make up in our mind that pain will not enter into our life without it propelling us somehow, some way. And so for those that are listening that may be going through a season of pain, and for those that may be going through a stormy season, I want you to understand and know that every single storm runs out of rain, every single one. And this season of life that you may be going through is that it is just a season. And if you have lost someone, or if you're on the verge of seeing someone that you love transition, it does not get easier, but you will get stronger. And so with this pain that you feel, with this pain that you are carrying, with this pain that you are holding on to, I want you to place it back in the hands of Jesus, because when you do that, He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we exchange what we have for what it is that He has, He makes things better in His time.
Yeah, no, that is such a good promise to hold on to. And Tim, yeah, if it's all right, I want to ask kind of a personal question. And yeah, again, it really comes from the people I've been sitting down with lately who are going through the unimaginable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just even you experiencing it with your father, the kind of the big questions, and so I'm asking this not from the point of some random person just asking questions, but really for that person who's in it right now, of why is this happening? Why is this taking place? Why would God allow this? Or
yeah,
do you have any words that you would say from, like, really the pain that you've walked through? What was helpful for you? What would you say back to that question? Again, that's just the question I've gotten recently, more times than I want to get it from people.
Yeah, and I have lived through that. I have walked with people that are going through that and that have been through that. And, you know, the best explanation to that question that God has given me is there are some things that we will never get answers to on this side of life. There are certain things that we have to be okay with not understanding and not wrapping our logic around, because it will drive us crazy. And if the right amount of pain hits your life, you will and you should have questions. But questions does not necessarily mean that we will always find the answers. And so it does mean that when we walk with Jesus, and that when we continue to live out our lives the way he desires for us to live out our lives. When we enter into eternity, then we will get the resolutions and the answers and the solutions for some of the questions that we may carry in this life.
Yeah. Is there anything specifically that helped you through grief or through questions? Maybe it was a conversation with a friend. Like, was there anything that comes to mind of this was actually helpful?
Yeah. When we go through grief, there's a part of us that wants to pull away from everybody just to grieve and just to process. And to a certain degree, you need that time where you are able to reflect. You're able to go through some of those emotions, but you can't stay there.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that I learned, and one of the things that I have walked out continually through the various seasons of life and pain, is community is so important to walking through, walking out, and getting over sometimes what it is that you may be dealing with and what it is that you may be up against. And I'm a firm believer that people that go through grief or people that go through disappointment, heartache, and they're struggling with it, struggle is the proof that you have not been overtaken by your enemy.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to struggle with those things. It's okay to continue to fight and battle those things. But I want to encourage you, don't stay in those things. You know, allow those things to bring you to a place where you recognize, where you understand, I cannot do this on my own. I need the help of someone that is greater than me. And that help only comes through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't think we can end it better than that. Again, Tim's newest book is The Power of 1440. Go get a copy. It's signed off by John Maxwell, did the forward. If that's not enough endorsement, I don't know what will be. But thanks for being the pastor, the leader, the fellow, the brother in Christ that you are. I just give thanks for you.
Thank you so much for having me on the conversation, Adam. It's been a high honor, man, and a joy to spend some time with you.
I'm Deborah Falada. I'm an author and licensed professional counselor, and I'm also part of the Converge Podcast Network. In my new book, Are You Really Okay? I'm going to challenge you to get real about who you are and how you're doing spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Are You Really Okay? Will help you get healthy from the inside out. And for a limited time, you'll also receive the free audiobook and an exclusive free journal with every pre-order. Order from your favorite retailer today and visit areyoureallyokay.com to learn more. That's areyoureallyokay.com.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.